Okay, the last thing we were discussing here was the concept of Dror D'Mamona, where we saw a Machlokes Rishonim between the Rashbam and Tosfos as to whether the fact that Machlif Para B'Chamor, there is a quality of Dror D'Mamona, whether this is something which deals with the Ba'alei Dovar, namely that because the Ba'alei Dovar have a, according to the Rashbam, because they have a kesher, that there is some clear objective connection to them, to the vlad. Once upon a time the para belongs to A, now the para belongs to B. This vlad either belongs to one or the other or to both, namely that they're intrinsically connected. That already is what brings about the yachloku. That's one option, and we saw the Tosus Rid took that to the point that when you have this connection, it's like muhzakim. In other words, this is like the Shnei Molchsin Betalis. This brings us back to Baba Metzia, that we have over here a world of Mokzakim. In the world of Mokzakim, we can't use Kol Dolav Gvar. In the world of Mokzakim, we have to go towards Yachloku. That's the direction of the Rashbam. Or do we have the direction of Tosfos, that we're looking not at the Baal Edar, we're looking at Bezdin. That the moment that we have a situation where we have a Sofik below Tano Sehem, that we'll take these two people out of court. Bezdin is going to have an objective suffix as to when this vlad was born, and such cases have to be dealt with by Yachloku, namely that it's not because of the Balei Dovar, but it's rather pumfakert. In other words, the Balei Dovar are out of the picture, not in the picture. When the Balei Dovar are in the picture, when we have a suffix machmas ta'ano sehem, this one's claimed zeh omer shalavosai v'zeh omer shalavosai, there we have a din of kol dalam gvar. But over here, without their ta'anot, we have an objective question as to when the vlad was born. So on Bezdin's, from Bezdin's perspective, we have over here a hora'ah of a Torah Sheba'al Peh, that over here, there should, at least according to Sumchus, that over here there should be a din of Yachok. But that was the Machlokes that we saw in Baba Basra, correct? But I pointed out that there's another sugya of Dror D'Mamona as well, in Baba Metzia, where we have Rishonim, who raise other, at least one Rishon, who raises another definition of Dror D'Mamona. And that's the Gemara, the sugya at the beginning of Shnayim Olchsim, again, which is a very parallel sugya to our Gemara, where we're comparing different solutions of what do we do in situations of Mamon Hamutal B'Safek. And over there, the Gemara compares the Mishnah of Shnayim Olchsim B'Talas to the Din of Sumchus. Both of them are Yachloku, but the Mishnah, what's the difference between the two of them? In the Mishnah, what do we have along with the Yachloku? A Shvua. And in Sumchus, we have Yachloku without a Shvua. So the question is as to whether we can learn our Mishnah according to Sumchus, or whether the Mishnah has to go only according to Rabbanon. Eloi Amris Sumchus, says the Gemara, Hashto maha sam de lo tafse travayu. Cholkim belo Shvua, hacha de travayu tafse lo kol shekein. The cholera, the Mishnah over there, in other words, the Gemara over there asked that the Mishnah should not go like Sumchus. So the Gemara then offers the possibility, maybe there's a difference between whether we're dealing with Shema and Shema and Bari Ubari, and the Gemara rejects that. That will have to come to when we deal with Sumchus. What in other words, what are the criteria under which he says Yachloku? But then the Gemara continues, Afilu Tema Sumchus. The Gemara says as follows, Ki Amar Sumchus. When did Sumchus say Yachloku without a Shvua? Hecha de'ika Dror D'Mamona. Aval hecha de'leka Dror D'Mamona. Lo. That is a difference between the case of Machlif Para B'Chamor, where we have Dror D'Mamona. There you have Yachloku without Shvua. And the case of Shnayim Olchsim B'Talas, where there's no Dror D'Mamona. And there we have Yachloku with Shvua. That's the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'lav kava chomerhu, u'ma hasam v'ika drama mamona lemar v'ika drama lemar v'ika lememar kula demar v'ika lememar kula demar b'chol zatam rasumchus mamonu to besafek cholkin belo shvua hacha deleka drama mamona v'ika lememar trevayhu lo kol shekain." And the Gemara comes up and says, "No, that really sumchus can work out with the Mishnah because the shvua in the Mishnah is a shvua drabanan, it's a takana in that applies specifically to issues of grabbing metaltlin." Okay, in other words, but so we have over here Dror D'Mamona, which is brought up as an havamina, as a reason to distinguish between two cases, that where we have drar d'mamana, there's no room for a shvua. Where there's no drar d'mamana, there is room for a shvua. And then the Gemara reverses itself and says, kol shekein, that if in a case where there is drar d'mamana, there's no shvua, kal v'chomer, where there's no drar d'mamana, there shouldn't be a shvua. What does drar d'mamana mean in the context of the Gemara in Bava Metzia? So here, Tosos is l'shitasa, Perush de belotan osehem yesh safek lebezdin, right? That we have an objective suffix. So Tosos is consistent. But over here we have Rashi. We don't have the Rashbam, but we have Rashi. And Rashi explains Drara de Mamana differently than any of the Perushim that we've seen. Drara de Mamana, Chisaron Mamon. Chisaron Mamon. She'im Yifra ze Shelo Kedin. Have a chisaron mamon. Ve'im niftarenu shelo kedin, nimtza zeh chaser vlad paraso. That one of the two of them is likely to lose money, as opposed to the world of shnayim ochsim, which is what sort of a situation? It's a metzia. So what I may have lost is potential, but I didn't lose anything that had belonged to me. It's not as though I had purchased something, didn't get what I purchased, or I didn't purchase something and I got that which I didn't purchase. In other words, we're not dealing over here with a loss in terms of my net worth from what was earlier. We're dealing over here. So I was, you know, it's the worst case scenario is I didn't make a profit, but I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose anything. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Let's investigate and see which of these perushim, or how do these perushim work with the havamina of the Gemara, and how do these perushim work with the maskana of the Gemara over there? What do you say? In other words, we have over there in the Gemara, we don't have a Rashbam over there. We'll see. Let's mention it. There is, however, a Ramban over there who rejects Rashi, and we'll see in a few minutes why. I forgot to bring the Ramban. There is a Ramban over there. It's okay, you know, trust me. There is a Ramban over there in Bava Metzia who learns like the Rashbam. Namely, he brings the Rashbam's Perush over there into Bava Metzia, and he rejects Rashi. He saw Rashi, he said, Ma pitom, he wouldn't like the Rashbam. So before we get, we have on the table three Perushim of Drar d'Mamana. Let's take the two Perushim that are on the daf, Rashi and Tosfos. According to which of these Perushim would the Hava make beautiful sense? That in the case of Drar d'Mamana, there we would say Yachloku without a Shvua. And in a case where there is no Drar d'Mamana, there we'd say Yachloku with a Shvua. And again, to whom would the maskana make sense? That if in a case of drar d'mamana there is no shvua, kal v'chomer, if there's no drar d'mamana, there certainly should be no shvua. What do you say? Yes?
I think Rashi doesn't make a lot of sense in the havamina because
100%. The havamina is beautiful according to Tosfos. What is Tosfos saying? Tosfos says that when we have a suffix without their ta'anot, so then we should split it without a shvua. Why should it take a shvua? The shvua is to back up their taina. A shvua is to give na'amanas to your taina. But if your taina is irrelevant, if the suffix exists without your taina, why take a shvua? That makes a lot of sense. Where there's drar d'mamana, where there is a suffix without your taina, so there we should have no shvua. Masha'enkin, when the whole suffix is built on the taina, so then there's room to say, be nishba, and then be cholek. Namely, if the whole suffix is because of the veracity of your claim, that we have two claims that are opposing one another, so then we'll say, look, we'll give it to, we'll be cholek, but you have to take a shvua that your claim is correct. And where the taina is relevant, then you need a shvua to back it up. Where the taina is irrelevant, why bring in a shvua? What's a shvua going to do? A shvua is irrelevant. How could the suffix exist even had enough in towing anything? We have an objective suffix. The havamina of the Gemara fits in Mamish, as Ari points out, beautifully according to us. Yes?
When Rashi
and Drar
d'Mamana is in one person, Rashi, and
much of these owed money he's going to lose, then you need a shvur.
But no, but that's not. But the Gemara says when there's drar de mamona, there's no shvur. The Gemara says where there's drar de mamona, there's no shvur. In the havam and the maskar. In the havam, drar de mamona is the case of machlef par b'chamor. Machlef par b'chamor is sumkus. Sumkus says cholkin without a shvur. That's a fact. Okay. The only question is why does sumkus say cholkin without a shvur? So the havamin of the Gemara is that because the shvuah, the whole concept of the shvuah is to back up a taina, and this is a suffix without a taina. So why be nishba? Mashen kein, if we would have had a suffix that was built on a taina, so then be nishba that your taina is correct. Otherwise, what's to talk about? Right? Only when you have two tainas that are equal import, then we'll say cholkin. But if one person says I won't be nishba, okay, so the other person will get it. In other words, because your taina, you're not being nishba, then your tainas has no nanonis. Your tainas not being backed up. So that's the havamin of the Gemara. But the Gemara rejects that. And the Gemara says, no. If in drar de mamona there is no shvua, then kal vachomer, if there's no drar de mamona, there should be no shvua. That's the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, v'laf kal vachomer hu. Ma ha'asam dika drar de mamona. Then we say, that Tzumcha says, chokim below shvua, ha'acha deleka drar de mamona. Then go call Shekain that we should not have a shvua. This, according to Tosfos, doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make sense according to Tosfos. Ari explained Tosfos that there's room to distinguish what kind of kal vachomer is. It's not a kal vachomer where there is drar d'mamona. There's a suffix below tano sehem. There's no shvua. Where there's no drar d'mamona, that means the suffix is because of their tainus. There is a shvua. The havamin makes perfect sense according to Tosfos. The maskana, however, and this is a chora, what pushed Rashi, the maskana of the Gemara over there, is that if in a case of drara de mamona, where one side is going to lose, even so, even though a person is going to lose, Sumcha said to be chot without a shvua, so if no one is going to lose, kal vachomer there should be a chaluka without a shvua. Then we would understand the havamina of a shvua where someone is going to lose. Someone's going to lose. So then, we're not going to allow someone to lose without, you know, at least that the two sides should put themselves out on a limb and be nishba. But if we say that even in a case where there's chisaron, that there's not going to be a shvua, kal vachomer, if there's no chisaron, then kal vachomer, that there should be no shvua. So Tosfos fits very, very nicely into the Havamina. It's much more difficult in the Maskana. The Rashi over there fits very nicely in the Maskana. Doesn't fit that well into the Havamina. What the Ramban points out is that even though it appears that Rashi won the battle in Baba Metzia, right, that he fits into the Maskana. It's very nice to have a Svara, but you want to have a Svara that fits into a Maskana of the Gemara, but the Ramban says, but move over to Baba Basra. Move over to our world in terms of where our Gemara asks, when do we use Shuda and when do we use Yachloku? And the Gemara distinguishes between drar de mamona and lav drar de mamona, and try and plug Rashi in. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's simply wrong. How do you call hahu arba a case where there's no drar de mamona? Clearly, you know, we're not talking over there about a metziah. We're talking about something that a person claims is his. Zelmer shel avosai, the zelmer shel avosai. How can you say there's no chisaron mamon? Clearly, someone's going to be losing what he claims is his legacy, what he claims is his heritage, what he claims is his family's property. In other words, what the Ramban points out, if you want to give a definition of drar de mamona, you should have a definition that'll work its way through the sugyos, not a definition which is only going to help you locally. This is a general issue in terms of machlokos between Rashi and everyone else. That Rashi, I mean, one of his, there's a very, very nice book that came out on explaining Darko Shel Rashi, the Perusho La Gemara, by a fellow named Yona Frankel, in which he pointed out that Rashi's task was to explain every Gemara locally, even every Mishnah locally. In other words, that Rashi is for the person who's learning the Daf Yomi. You should be able to make your way through the Daf. I, later on, three blocks down the way, and maybe they'll have a stira between the Gemara and the way Rashi and the Mishnah, that didn't bother Rashi. That wasn't his test. That's Tosfos was able to deal with. Rashi first had to give you pshat that you'd be able to work your way through the sugya. So Rashi in Bava Metzia was learning within the context of Bava Metzia. We assume that Rashi over here, had we had his perish in Bava Basra, he maybe have learned like the Rashbam. He may have learned differently. But we don't have his perish over here in Cheska Sabbatim. But the Ramban and the Balyatosis, they were working on Rashi's shoulders. Once Rashi already explained everything locally, now let's see what we do when we appear to have steros between X and Y, Bakule, Bakule. So that's, you know, there's a reason why Rashi learned the way he learned, because it explains the Sugi and Bava Metzia very, very nicely within the Maskana. Yes?
I think we saw in the Shittim of the West that Rashi actually says Rashi thinks that there are two meanings.
Right. So you could say that there are two worlds of Dorah Demamana. You have to explain each of them in its own context. It's very, very possible. We'll see in terms of Shuda that there may be two different types of Shuda that are spoken of in Chazal. In any case, what we have over here are three directions within Dorah Demamana, three directions that try to explain why Sumchus would say, or under what circumstances does Sumchus say that we have a chalukah without a shvua, but within our sugya, only two of them, only the Rashbam and Tosfos, fit in. That's what the Ramban points out. The Rashi's perish fits very nicely into the Maskana and Bav Metzia, but it's not going to help us learning the difference between Ahu Arba and between Hamakuf Parba Chamor. Okay, that's just the Adkan HaKafa Aleph. That's just to complete what we spoke about last time. What I'd like to talk to you today is in terms of the world of Shtei Shtaros. Let's look at the Gemara over here from the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis through Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Umayshna Mishtei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yom Echad Derav Amar Yachloku Ushmuel Amar Shuda D'Dayinu. So before we ask the Mishna, let's just first see what we have over there by Shtei Shtaros. You have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. When you have two Shtaros that have the same date written into the shtar, Rav says, and both of these individuals claim that they received the matana or the mecher or whatever the nature of the shtar is. Rav says yachloku, Shmuel says shuda d'dayne. The Gemara over there in Ksuvas wants to link the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Actually, has two deos. The Gemara over there has two deos as to what is the basis of the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. One day in the Gemara is that Rav is working within the context of Rav Meir, and Shmuel is working within the context of Rav Elazar. That we have a machlokas in Gittin as to whether we say Eide Mesira Karte or Eide Chasima Karte, as to what is the, which are the main Eidim within the world of a get, the Eidim who are signed on the get or the Eidim who are made on the Mesira of the get. And the Gemara says that this machlokas applies to shar shtaros as well, not only to get, but this is a general question in shtar as to who are the real edim, the edim on the mesira of the shtar or the edim on the ksiva of the shtar, and that's the machlokas in Rav and Shmuel. Then the Gemara says, no, maybe everyone agrees with Rav Elazar that ede mesira karte. And becholzot, we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in terms of a parallel to the machlokas that we saw Sunday. Parallel to Machlokas we saw on Sunday between Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, who has the upper hand? What's Adif? When you have two Psakim that are in front of Bezdin, Yachloku and Shuda, like we had the question of Yachloku and Kolon Gvar, which Psak takes precedence? Rav feels that Yachloku is a better Psak than Shuda, and Shmuel feels that Shuda is a better Psak than Yachloku. Okay, so let's try and work our way through these two options, and then we can compare it to Kol Dalem Gvar. In other words, until we understand what's going on by Shtei Shtaros, it's very hard to compare it to Kol Dalem Gvar. Okay, so let's start off go in the order of the Gemara. Rav holds like Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir holds Eide Chasima Karte, that the main Eidim are the ones written in the Shtar. So we have two Eidim that on Yud Beis Shvat, Reuven gave a gift to Shimon. And we have two Eidim that on Yud Beis Shvat, Reuven gave a gift to Levi. Those are our Eidim, the Eide Chasima, the ones who were signed in the Shtar. Both Shtaros have the same day. Why does Rav say Yachloku in such a situation if we're dealing with Edei Chasima Karate? Who really owns the land? Yeah? Why do you say Meikar than the first guy? If we hold Edei Chasima Karate, everything depends upon that which is written in the Shtar. If the Shtar says that this land was transferred on Yud Beis Shvat, when is the land transferred from Reuven to the receiver?
But there's no specification of
Shos
at the end of the day.
Right? No specification of Shos, it's transferred at the end of the day. So over here, to whom is it transferred at the end of the day? To both. Namely, at the end of the day, they're each holding on to a shtar that says that it belongs to them at the end of the day. It's as though Reuven had given a matana to Shimon / Levi, as though he had given a matana to Shutfim. He gave it to both of them. What then is this sack of Yachloku according to Rav? Is this because we have a Maman Hamuta B'Safek? There's no Safek. This is Vados. This is not a Yachloku of Safek. This is Yachloku of Vadai. Vadai, it belongs to both of them. They're Shutfim. And when you have Shutfus, each of them has 50%. That's Yachloku. Namely, according to the understanding of the Gemara, that Rav holds like Rav Meir, Rav is not involved in our sugya. Right? Our sugya deals with what do you do with Maman Hamuta B'Safek. Rav is not a case of Maman Hamuta B'Safek. Rav is telling us that over here we have no Safek, that at the end of the day, B'Taras Vadai, L'chatchila, it belongs to the two of them. And therefore, right, this is what Tosus points out. In Tosus Yiramaskil, Rav Omar Yach Loku, Ula Oso Haloshon. The third wide line in Tosfos, third wide line underneath the thin lines, right? The line that has the hay of the bach in it. Ula Oso Haloshon Lo Paruch Mi Rav Hacha. The Hasan Bidin Husha Bishnehem. Kevan de Biyom Echad Nechtemu. Right? But the question is from Shmuel. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Ede Mesira Karte. Namely, if we have two shtaros that say in them that Reuven gave a gift to Reuven, Reuven gave a gift to Shimon, and the date in the shtar is Yud Beis Shvat, when does the land belong to Reuven and when does the land belong to Shimon? When the shtar is given to Reuven, it belongs to Reuven. When the shtar is given to Shimon, it belongs to Shimon. What don't we know? When it was given to Reuven and to Shimon. That's Mamon Hamutal B'Safek. And what does Shmuel say when we have a case of Mamon Hamutal B'Safek? Shuda de Dayane. That's the question. Umayshna. Why in the case of Ahu Arba? We have Mamon Hamutal B'Safek, we say Kodalam Gvar. Here, according to Shmuel, since Ede Mesira Karte, the date in the shtar is irrelevant. The date in the shtar is just telling us that it couldn't have been before, right? Yud Beis Bishvat. But it could have been on Yud Beis Bishvat. It could have been Yud Gimel Bishvat. It could have been Tezvav Bishvat. It could have been Aleph Adar, right? In other words, we have no idea when the shtar was given over. Only when the shtar is given over, Ede Mesira Karte, does the transaction take place. Why b'chlal do we have a shtar according to Rav Elazar? If really the date in the shtar is irrelevant,
If it's different, if it's signed on different dates, then it gets owned by the other
one. Azariah, that if the Edim ever disappear and Reuven claims this land is mine, I'm the Marikama, so Shimon will pull out his shtar. But the date in the shtar is not that which is going to be koveya, the date of the transfer of ownership. It's just going to be a raya that if Shimon is holding on to the shtar, kanareh the ownership was transferred. But the date of the transfer is the date of the Mesira. We don't know the date of the Mesira. That's the question of the Gemara. Ela l'Shmuel Parach. That according to Shmuel, here we have the case of Maman Hamuta B'Safek, and we say Shuda, and by Yehua Arba, we have Maman Hamuta B'Safek, and we say Kodlin Gvar. How can that be? Now, what issue do we have with this understanding, before we see the latter understanding? What issue do we have with this understanding of the sugya? Right. The Gemara says The reason that over here Shmuel says Shuda de Dayane is because this is Lekel Lameka Male de Milsa. The reason that by Yahu Arba we say Kodon Gvar is because Ika Lameka Male de Milsa. Why over here is this called Lekel Lameka Male de Milsa? Let's simply bring it, you know, we'll search for the Eide Mesira. There were Eide Mesira, right? That we know, there were Eide Mesira. So let's just ask the Eide Mesira, why is that called Lekel Lameka Male de Milsa? Are you going to say, well, the Eide Mesira, they went to Honolulu? In other words, all Eide Mesira got on a plane to Honolulu the moment there's this charter plane to Honolulu. Every day, that Eide Mesira get on this plane and go to Honolulu, that's a very, very strange ukimta to say that this is the rule, that Eide Mesira tend to disappear. Why is this Lekel Lameka Male de Milsa? Shad in the Gemara. In other words, how does Tosus, Tosus doesn't even say a word about this, because it's so obvious to him. It's always terrible when things are so obvious to Rishonim that we don't understand, you know, it's always so obvious to them. But over here, the Ramban, he Baruch Hashem, filled us in. So the Ramban says, Alatar, that, V'hod amrinan leka lemeka malad milsa, mitoch hashtar ko'amar, v'kevan de mitoch hashtar, Leka lameka malad milsa, Amar Shmuel shuda de dayane, shaharei edim lefanecha meidim shishneim biyom echad, ve'ein omrim yavo acherim v'yaidu sheze kodem laze, ela amrinan k'shem she'elu lo dikteku b'sha'os, kach elu lo dikteku, klomar de ede mesira gufayhu lo dayake b'sha'os, u'mistama v'chad yoma. Imsar litravayu. The cave on the vade, the chadminayahu, the masar lazeva, acharkach laze, the roshriach, the masar litravayu, bevasachas, the sahade lo dayeke ba, avdinan shuda. Aval hocha, by hu arba, ikula meka malade milsa. Namely, the Ramban over here understands that we're dealing with a situation in which there is a built in fuzziness. A built in fuzziness. Like a Marshall Hedyot, if Henry Kissinger were to broker some sort of a deal between Vietnam and America to stop the war, clearly he brokered an agreement that the Vietnamese can explain in this manner and the Americans can explain in this manner, that they can both explain to their populations that they have won the war. Right? In other words, that there's a certain built-in ambiguity. That's the beauty of negotiation or of Nisuach, to have a built-in ambiguity that everyone can feel happy with a certain situation. So in the world of Shtaros, there is a built-in ambiguity. The built-in ambiguity is what? Lo dayake b'shaos. That in Shtar, our time framework is that of days, not of hours. That's the nature of Shtar. A shtar is only meaningful for a day. And therefore, since the nature of shtaros is the day, if the shtar is written in the morning or it's written in the afternoon, it's all the same. It's all the same. Hu hadin, the Eid and Mesira, don't get involved in looking at their watches. An Eid Mesira will tell you it was given on Tuesday, Yud Aleph Shvat. Yom Gimel, Yud Aleph Shvat. That's when it was given. But you ask the Eid, but when was it given? At 9 in the morning? At 10 in the morning? Was it at 11? Was it 12? I can only remember that it was given on that day. Because the whole nature of shtaros is that you have that ambiguity, that since the shtar doesn't take effect until the end of the day, so why should I bother to remember silly details? So that's what, and according to Ramban, this has halachic implications. The halachic implications are that we're going to assume that the Eide Mesira are not medaktik, amrinan, kashem she'elu, just like the Eide Chasima lo dikteku b'sha'os, kach elu, those who are responsible for the Eide Mesira, lo dikteku, klamar Eide Mesira gufayhu lo dayake b'sha'os. So they can't give Eidim on that in which they were not medayik. Kol milso d'laram yaleya inish, lavadaita. If this is something the person doesn't have to, the same way we're not going to ask an aid, what color shoes was the fellow wearing? We're not going to ask, Was he standing or sitting when he received the shtar? These are questions we're not going to ask because they're irrelevant to his edus. His edus is that the shtar was given. But the only thing he has to remember is the day. That's all he has to remember. He'll write for himself a little petek, keep it in his wallet. I was an Eid Mesira, in other words, on this and this day. What hour? In other words, again, the assumption is the two shtaros were given the same day. Had to be given on different days, they clearly eko nekem el denosa. The assumption is, if a shtar is written, it's going to be handed over the same day. And the assumption is that the moment that it was given over on that day, then the Eidim Asira, there's a built-in ambiguity, and Bezdin isn't going to ask questions where they don't expect the Eid to have remembered. And they're not going to trust his memory because it's Milsa de la Vlare Ramele de Inish, because the Eid feels this is irrelevant, because it's a shtar. And the shtar only has as much meaning as the world of shtaros. And the world of shtaros is not a world of seconds and hours, it's a world of days. And that's the understanding over here, that that's why the Arasugi is Lekha Lamekam Alei Demilsa. This is different than the Rashbam, right? This is not what the Rashbam said. The problem is that the Rashbam, it doesn't fit in with the Sugya in Ksuvas. V'harav Rav Shmuel Zal Kosav Lekha Lamekam Demilsa, Afilum Yavo Eidim V'yidushes V'nichta V'nimsar V'boker V'zeh B'erev Halo Ein Hakdama L'shos Ker Kasvinam V'perushav V'lesa. That's only true if we're dealing with Eide Chasima Karate. But Shmuel holds that Eide Mesira Karate. Eide Mesira Karate means really everything takes effect when it's given. The only problem is we have no way of knowing when it's given. We have no way of knowing when it's given. Were we to have, let's say, a video camera that Ohad would be right in charge, and there'd be a video camera that's constantly videoing this room, and we would see someone go in and take it in the morning, it's also in the afternoon, in a chinami. There would be no court case. The video camera would simply, in other words, whoever, as Eitan pointed out, whoever took it, it's his. Right? Whoever got it first, it's his. That's clear. But we have no video camera. We're samlech on Eidim. Since the Eidim are working within the world of shtaros, and the world of shtaros has the world of time is fuzzy, therefore we're not going. This is called lekel lemekam alei demilsa. Okay. That's the pshat over here, according to the first way of understanding. The first daya within the sugya over there, in Ksuvas. Yeah. No, in other words, maybe I said it a little too radically. If the Eidim were to say, it's true, we didn't have to mark down the time, but we did remember the time, and clearly the Eidim of one set precede the Eidim of the other set, right? Then in Achinami, we wouldn't say Shuda. That would be already Ikal HaMekam Lei Demilsa, and we give it to that individual. The reason that the case of Shtei Shtaros Yotzim B'Yom Echad comes before the court and it's called Lekel Lameka Amalei Demilsa and we apply the din of Shuda is because generally Eidei Mesira are not Medayik because that's the nature of Shtaros. You're correct. Were the Eidim to say we were Medayik, not only we didn't have to, but we were, then we would accept them as Eidim. You're correct in that. I'm sorry I got carried away. Yeah.
If we're going to be saying it is a situation in which there's lack of makom, then why would that not be a situation like Rav had and then have to be a chokhu? Then the mitzvah would be that they both have an equal ownership.
You're asking a question that really we're going to apply now to the second lasha. The second, yes? The Rashbam is difficult because the Rashbam is assuming, and again, this is pshat in the sugi over here, that the shtaros take effect at the end of the day, but in that situation, there's really, in other words, were we to hold like Rav Meir, that Eide Chasima Karte, then that's not the kasha that we have to call the Gvar. That's not a case of Mamonot HaBesafek. That's a Vados. That's a whole different world. That's not the kasha of the Gemara. I don't have a Teretz Rashbam. The other lashon of the Gemara over there is that everyone holds Eide Mesira Karte. Everyone holds Eide Mesira Karte. But the machlokis between Rav and Shmuel is, what are we ma'adif? When we have a suffik mamon, which is lekel lemeka amarei de milsa, according to the way we explained, what is better, yachloku or shuda? And in other words, and then the question over here of the Gemara is from both lashonos. Why by us do we say kolam gvar? Over there we say either yachloku or shuda. So we have a kasha from Rav. Why here it's Yachloku and here it's called the Gvar? You have a kasha from Shmuel. Why over here it's Shuda and over here it's called the Gvar? You have a double kasha. Because we have a, in other words, Rav also agrees with Maman Abutab Safik. Rav also understands that we have over here Eidem Mesira Karite. And whoever receives it first should win. But we don't know who receives it first. That's when the Gemara distinguishes between Lech Lamekam Alei Demilsa and Ika Lamekam. But what's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel? What's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel? What over here are the upsides and the downsides of the two psukim? Yes?
You mentioned a few days ago that for Shmuel, you have a 50% chance of being totally right, but for Rav, you have only 100% chance of being half right and half wrong.
Okay, if I said it, then I meant it. Yeah, that's right. Okay. In other words, the upside of Rav is the downside of Rav. The upside of Shmuel is the downside of Shmuel. That according to Rav, we take the safe way. The safe way is always being 50% right. Right? That when the moment we say Yachloku, the right owner got 50%. The downside of it is, of course, that we have 100% of being 50% wrong. That we're giving someone who is not really the owner 50%, but at least we're giving the true owner 50%. That, in other words, no one's really Mashenken, according to Shmuel, he is the gambler. We take a chance. We're going to gamble. In our gamble, it could be, and this is why we're going to gamble, that we can get it to be 100% right. The fear is, of course, that when you gamble, you can also be 100% wrong. Right? In other words, you're putting all the money on the table, and you think you know the system and you can get to be 100% right, but you know you can also make a terrible mistake. So the question is it better to take that chance of being 100% right as opposed to being 50% wrong, or is it better to say I'd rather be conservative and be 50% right than to take a chance of being 100% wrong? In this equation that we were setting it up, you're all aware, and this is not being mechadishing to you, that there's a basic machlokus between Rashi and Rashbam on one hand, and Rabbeinu Tam, what does Shuda mean? Right? Are we trying to psych out the nosein, or are we dealing kol mashe roe hadayan? Can Shmuel fit in according to, in other words, the way we're learning now, does this fit both into Rashi and into Rabbeinu Tam? It fits into Rashi better. Let's put it this way. Namely that the gamble is a gamble. The question is, what criteria are we using for the gamble? Namely that both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are assuming Shmuel is saying gamble, that we're going to try and get to 100% proof. There are two ways of gambling. One way of gambling is trying to psych out the nosein, and the other way of gambling is that to sort of leave it up to the dayan to think where he would want the money to be. Both of them are a gamble. Daniel is correct is that according to Rashi we understand what would push us towards Shuda. Namely that if the gamble, in other words, if like according to Rabbeinu Tam, what would push us in this direction to say that the judge's judgment is going really to bring us to the real owner. What is the connection between who received the shtar first and what the judgment feel and what the judge feels in terms of whatever his criteria would be? Mashain Ken, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, there's some inner logic. again, it's a gamble. Who says that we're psyching the individual correctly? But we're doing our best effort in that direction. But Lechora, both of, in other words, but Rabbeinu Tam also fits into this understanding. Rabbeinu Tam says that we're going to gamble. We're going to gamble and hope that we'll hit 100% correct. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like according to Rabbeinu Tam, he thinks that we're going for truth. It just looks like we're just going for some kind of definite conclusion. But Rabbeinu Tam says the Dayan just gives it to whoever he wants. It's not based on the Dayan attempting even at all to
correct.
Get to the truth of the matter. He's just saying, the Dayan is just saying, well, we're not going to split it because that's it's going to be seen as some kind of compromise. We're not going to compromise. We're just going to give it to one or the other.
The Seder, but what do you gain by giving it to one or the other as opposed to compromising?
People feel that the Beis Din is performing its function.
Because people feel that if you were compromised, then that's not true. People feel that if you compromise, you're always going to be 50% wrong. And so when you give it to one person, then there is a possibility they're 100% right.
Doesn't matter why they give it, as long as they give it to one of them, there's a 50% chance right that whoever they give it to.
But according to Rabbeinu Tam, is anybody saying at this point, is the Dayan saying, are the people watching saying that, oh, we feel good because it was given to, you know, we have 50% chance that it was given to somebody correct? Or is it just...
That we saw in the tshuva of the Rosh, that, you know, that the shuda of Rabbeinu Tam is Lahavi Shalom Ba'olam. Lahavi Shalom Ba'olam means that people feel that justice was done. That to have a psak where you know you're 50% wrong, built into the psak, is an injustice, and the alternative is to give it to someone, you give it to one party, we're giving it to one party, that has an element of...
What justice? It's because the Dayan is feeling on today that he likes to say better. Nobody thinks that's justice.
Well, the Dayan doesn't say that.
But doesn't everybody know it?
No, only the Dayanim know.
Are you sure you'd say?
Why do you assume everyone knows?
Who brought in the Dayan's feelings, though? Why do we care what people... how people are viewing the Beis Din. The Beis Din is taking, they're taking a gamble. They might be right. Why do we care if people look at the bed? Not the people, but why do we care? How we ask all people that are not going to...
No, the question over here is what in front of Beis Din, when Beis Din has two alternatives, of being 100% wrong, 50%, of being 100% of the time 50% wrong, or perhaps of being 50% 100% right, which direction do they go? Now, how that gamble, there are two ways of doing the gamble. One is trying to psych, and the other is just choosing, arbitrarily. It's a gamble. But that gamble is considered to be, according to Shmuel, a preferable adik. It's according to the Gemara and Ksuvas, it's preferable than the Yachloku, which is vade 50% wrong. What in other words, what you know, what is in terms of, okay, we'll just take it one more step. Maybe this is totally in an understanding of the Rashbam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, I'm sorry, we don't want to be 50% wrong all the time, so we gamble. But our gamble, we have no idea. Since we have no idea, since we have no idea, so our gamble is arbitrary, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam and Rashi disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. The question is, to what degree do they disagree with Rabbeinu Tam? And here we have a question in terms of, well, you tell me, so how do you understand Rashi and the Rashbam? Do they view that the psyching is a birur? What?
I don't know if it's a birur, but it's not that they're going to be based on 50% right. They're going to be 100% right 50% of the time. They're going to be 100% right more than 50% of the time.
In other words, what Eitan is suggesting, as I understand you, is that Rashi and the Rashbam are aware that you can only go so far in terms of psychology. And there is no guarantee that this is really what the person meant. But it's what we call a hishtadlus. You're trying. You're trying to use whatever tools HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you to get to the truth. But if you'll ask Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, bottom line, Bottom line, do you agree with Rabbeinu Tam or not that the dayan can do it arbitrarily? Bottom line, they agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Bottom line is that if, let's say, we can't cite the individual one way or another, we're just going to give it to someone. That's the nature of Shmuel's halacha of Shuda. We're going to give it to one of them. But Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam says, before we just toss a coin, before we take into account Goral Hagra, before we're going to see where they sit in shul, let's try and do a hishtadlus to think what would the nosein probably have done. It's no, we can't loot. No, it's a direction in the in of trying to take advantage of whatever kochos hanefesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But Ekroni, they agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, the bottom line is that Shmuel says we're going to gamble. We're not going to create a situation where we're going to all the time be 50% wrong. We're going to give it to one of them. But let's try and think of a way of going towards the MS. Even though, as Eitan pointed out, it's no more than that. Okay, in other words, the machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi is a question as to whether there's room over here for hishtadlus, or since ech shelo yeyeh, we're never going to get to a biur, so let's just be arbitrary to begin with. It's a question of degree. However, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the Maariv Makom, I only saw it last night. There is a Tosfos in Ksuvos who understands Rashi in a more radical manner. The Tosos on the bottom of Nunhei Amud Beis. Bottom Tosos over there. Tosos in the very last line says, he says as follows. He's dealing with the Machlokes from Rav and Shmuel, and he says, Afal gav degabe shuda shamina le'ipcha, de Shmuel isle shuda v'rav chaluka v'lo shuda. Matzina le meimar kamosha pirish Rabbeinu Tam, the shuda lav umdenahu kamosha pirish berashi, ela yitnu beitin lemisha yirtzu. Namely, that Tosfos over here is saying that shuda, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is not an umdena, as according to Rashi, it is an umdena. That the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, yitnu beitin lemisha yirtzu, it's arbitrary, and according to Rashi, no, there's an umdena. Umdana is what we call a birur. Umdana means that we have over here not just we are doing the best that we can, but this is what we should do, and this is considered to be when Beis Din does the shuda, they are getting to the truth. So we have over here then three understandings of shuda. One understanding of shuda is Rabbeinu Tam that it's purely arbitrary. Purely arbitrary. We're not even. No one is ever going to say that we have over here any hochacha, but if the alternative is chaluka, I'd rather be arbitrary and 50% of the time be right than have a chaluka which 100% of the time is wrong. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi could agree with Rabbeinu Tam in terms of bottom line, but the chov of the Beis Din is mishtadel, to try and see if they can, in Eitan's language, be more than 50%. So it'll be 60%, hopefully. We may be wrong, but we're doing a hishtadlus. Or maybe to understand Rashi like Tosfos and Ksuvos, that this is an umdana. This is, you know, when the Demiurge's trial, there were all sorts of machlokot in terms of of various witnesses that came, expert witnesses that claimed that they could prove that this was or was not the individual of 50 years ago. Based on comparing photographs, based on this, and there was a machlokes. Was that an umdana? Is that a science, or is that simply it's a methodology, but it's nothing more than a hishtadlus. So over here also, that's the machlokes. Is shuda within Rashi an umdana? That this is that Beis Din have that power like Shlomo HaMelech of being kolea to the truth by using human psychology, or it's no more than a hishtadlus. Why play games? Why play games with a hishtadlus which is not real? Let's just toss a coin. Let's call a spade that we just don't want a chalukah. Okay, so that's what we have over here then in terms of the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and the distinction between Kodalim Gvar, where we use were ikal amekam, and this situation which the Ramban points out, because of the uniqueness of shtar, the ambiguity of the nature of shtar lokos and shos, that this is considered to be leka lamekam alei demilsa. There are two more points I'd like to raise. Let's look in Tosfos Divrei Maskil Shuda. That's where Rabbi Notam has his shita lemisha yirtze velo kapir shakuntras. The Rabbi Notam points out, why do I disagree with Rashi? Da besof perakama de gitin gabi holech mono laploni koamar mashi yirtze shliach yase v'karelei hasam shuda. And then later on at the end of Tosfos he brings the Yerushalmi also that says that Shuda is arbitrary. So he pointed out maybe Rashi would agree. But before we get to that point, there's an inyan of Hishtadlus. Then Rabbeinu Tam points out after he brings the Yerushalmi. He says, Yerushalmi, Amar Leizim and Shiyirtu Bezim Lahachlit Machlitim. Smack in the middle of Tosfos, the Im Tomar. The Im Tomar, if it's up to Bezin to give him Shiyirtu, Im Kain Yiten Lamisha Yiten Lo Sachar. The Yeshlomar, the Kol Daina, the Mekabel Agra, Lav Dainahu. That he raises the issue that if it's going to be arbitrary on the part of the Dayan, Im Kain Yiten Lamisha Yiten Lo Sachar. The Yeshlomar, the Kol Daina, the Mekabel Agra, Lav Dainahu. That we have a Mishnah in Bechoros, that there are certain areas where one is not permitted to receive sachar, and one of them is to be a dayan. Mishnah Bechoros is on Daf Kaf Kaftes, if I'm mistaken. Hanotel schar ladun dinav betelin, lahoid edusav betelin, etc. Menoha neimile, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Krav, Re'eli Madati Eschem Bechulei, Ma Ani Bechinam, Af Atem Bechinam. That there are certain areas that one is not allowed to receive Sachar. And then, you know, we have the same issue by Talmud Torah, the concept of Sachar Batala, Bechulei, by a doctor, Sachar Batala, etc. How do you understand the question and the answer of Rabbi Natan? What over here was the chshash for a dayan receiving sachar, and what is the iser for a dayan to receive sachar?
So the chshash is if it's arbitrary, then it's very likely someone will try to provide the dayanim to arbitrarily decide for him. And the answer is, well, don't worry about that. That's not who we're talking about, dayanim.
So, in other words, according to your understanding, why is it aser for dayanim to receive sachar? So one could say that within the context of Rabbeinu Tam is that the Torah asked the Dayan to receive Sechar, that there shouldn't be any Hava Mina of Shochad, even if that's not the motivation of the Dayan receiving Sechar, where since it could be like a Maris Ayin, that if the Dayan is receiving Sechar, then there would be an issue over here of Shochad. So Kamash Malan, the Torah doesn't want Shochad. But is that the... Yes?
No longer Dayan.
Right. Over here it appears it's a psul gavra, that it's not a question of shochad. We're not concerned over here with shochad. We're dealing over here that there is a psul gavra, you know, a person is not allowed to sit and be done if he receives sachar. The raya to that is the continuity of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Hanota skara ladun dinav betelin, lahoyed edusa betelin, lahazos lekadesh meimav meima'ara. A pharaoh, afer makla. If a person were to receive sachar for preparing the afer of the parah aduma, or for being mazeh, the mei parah aduma on a tameh, then that would, it would be a psul gavra. The whole thing would be batel. L'chora, there's no, that's not a situation of shochad. Dayan and aid, theoretically, one could have shochad. The moment that's put in together with the context of hazot, mei para aduma, we're dealing over here with a psul gavra. So, Rabbi Nutan, and again, the answer is the same in both directions. That it's aser for a dayan to receive sachar, so the question is to get off the ground. But l'chora, the iser to receive sachar is not only an issue over here of a marisayin of shochad, but rather it's a psul, possible, you know, exeris akosov, that one is not allowed to receive sachar. There's a very, a total aside, nothing to do with the sugi over here. There is a footnote in Rav Shimshon Afal Hirsch, which is found in the Hebrew edition. I'm not aware that it's found in the English edition. In which in the English and Hebrew edition, he asked a question as to why. Where is this? It's somewhere in Vayikra. I don't know where exactly it was. Why is there no iser for a shochet to take money to be a shochet, for a moel to take money to be a mohel, for a sofer stam to take money to be a sofer stam? What's the difference between that and no tel scharo gadun? It appears that you're not allowed to take money for doing mitzvahs. So why then? I mean, you make a living. A sofer stam makes a living of being a sofer stam. What's in between these mitzvahs and those mitzvahs? Is there any common denominator between lahoid, ladun, and lahazos nepara aduma, where you're not allowed to receive sakar, and writing a Sefer Torah, being a mohel, and being a shochet, where you are allowed to receive schar, aren't all of these maisa mitzvah? I think it may be on the pasuk of Imro Yagid Benosa Avono. That's where. So in the classic edition of Shemshon Afal Hirsch, he just leaves it at Tzarech Iyun, and then he wrote a footnote where he gave a very interesting hesber, which is found in the Hebrew. No? Anyone have a suggestion? Yes? I say you have to give a common denominator to a dayan, an aid, and a maza me para aduma. But over here we include also to make the me para. In other words, the kaddish me mav, to put the aether into the water. You're making me para aduma. Sharp. In other words, take what Yitzhak said. Yes. Excellent. Right. No, right. Oh, okay. He says that which you can do for yourself, but you're lazy. You don't want to learn Hilchos Shechita. You don't want to learn Hilchos Mila. You don't want to learn Hilchos Tam. So you want to take advantage of someone else's knowledge, so pay him. He went ahead and he pushed himself to be able to know these halachos, so pay him for his efforts, because you could really do it yourself. In other words, there's no halacha that there has to be a shochet. Anyone can be a shochet. But you can't be mazeh mei para aduma on yourself. You can't be made for yourself. You can't be done yourself. Namely, in areas where the Torah made one Jew dependent on another Jew, a Jew can't make money because someone else is dependent upon him. A Jew shouldn't make money because when the Torah insists that you're totally in someone else. That's very, it's not the Musar involved, it's very, very powerful. Okay, what else do we have over here? I know there were two. What? Gushitato, we have an issue. In other words, that if it's totally arbitrary, why aren't we afraid that there's going to be it's going to bring about a breakdown in the system? That, in other words, the people will know that the dayan, in other words, so they'll be given the dayan gifts, v'chulei v'chulei, so it says that would pass all the dayan. I mean, it wouldn't get off the ground. There's a little tosis over here on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Umayishta mishtei shtaros. Tosis says bishtaros mecher o matana airi. Ulekach l'shmuel damar shuda lo damya lohad etnan beperek mishe anasui hayukulan yotzos biyom echad ve'ein sham ela mona echad kulan cholkos b'shaveh. Were we to be dealing with shtarei halva'a, we would not have this case, but rather if we have a number of shtarei halva'a that all have the same date, there Shmuel would agree, Yachloku. The Hasan b'shibud Airi. That which the Shtar Halva creates is a Shibud. The Halva is created by the lending of the money. What is created by the Shtar? A Shibud. The Ein Shibud Chal Ela Me'osa Sha'a Shemochiach Mitoch Hashtar Sheiskal Hashibud. The Hainu Mimacharat Yom Shenichtavu. The Biyom Shenichtavu Ein Muchach Mitoch Hashtar Masai Hitchil Imba Boker Imba Erev. Avamatana Omecher Kol HaKodim Ba'osu Hayom Atzmo Zoche. Where are Eidim Mesira relevant? Eidim Mesira are relevant in the world of Shtari Mekach Umemkar. However, in the world of Shtari Halva, there Eidim Mesira aren't relevant, but rather the Eide Chasima, the Muchach Mitocho, and the Muchach Mitocho is all at the same date. This is a Machlokes Rishon. That which Tosa says over here, as Dover Pashut, you should be aware, is a Machlokes in the Gemara that he quotes in Ksuvas and Daf Tzadi Gimel. So the Rif over there agrees with our Tosfos, and Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees. The Rif over there understands like Tosos that this is the world of Shnei Shtaros Hayotzim Biyom Echad, and Avinu Chananel Savar Dafilu Behodaos VeHalvaos Amra Shmuel Shuda DeDayinei VeKaimalan Kavosei VeChein Das Ring Deran Das Balha Itur. Okay, that we have over there a machlokes between the Rishonim. What's the question? Why would you learn Gittim last year? No, so you should have dealt with this at some point in the first parak. What issue do we have in terms of the nature of Shtari Halva'a that perhaps we'd have a machlokes? Are they similar to Shtari Mekach Umemkar, or are they unique? That, in other words, would they have the criteria of Shtari Mekach Umemkar, in which we'd say Eide Mesira Karte, and whoever got the Shtar first, he would be able to collect the loan, whichever Malva got the Shtar first? Or do we say no, that we're going to simply view this as a din of muchach mitocho, that which gives the shtar, the shibudim is the kol. The kol is only from the text of the shtar, and edim is here to be irrelevant. Yes.
Shtar halva
is the raya. In other words, that classically we have in the world two types of shtaros: shtari kinyan and shtari raya. Usually, this is brought in within the Rambam. That the Rambam classically says that shtaros are midrabanan. Everyone says, how can you say shtaros are drabanan? So get is drabanan. We have a parsha in Yirmiyahu about shtaros. How can you say a shtar is midrabanan? So the classic understanding of Reb Chaim is that the Rambam is talking about shtari raya. Shtari raya are midrabanan. The shtari kinyan are midoraisa. So shtari kinyan, a shtar kedushin is a shtar kinyan. A get is a shtar kinyan. Shtari mekachu memkar are shtari kinyan. A classic shtar raya would be I purchased a field with Chazaka or with Kesef, and I have a Shtar Raya on my purchase. How do we view Shtari Mekach, Shtari Halva? Are Shtari Halva Shtari Kinyan or Shtari Raya? Why should a Shtar Halva be called a Shtar Raya is obvious. Why should a Shtar Halva be called a Shtar Kinyan? What Kinyan do we have? All we have is a lending of money. So this is the question of the nature of Shibudim. What does it mean to say that I have a Shibud? Do I actually have a kinyan in someone else's property to the degree that if the loan is not paid, I have a kinyan al tanai, I can be gova this field? Right, so the shtar creates shibudim. The question is as to whether that creation of shibudim would be considered to be a shtar kinyan. That lechora is what underlies over here the Tosas. Tosas is assuming, and the Rif is assuming, that a shtar halva is a shtar raya. A shtar raya, then really what's important is the muchach mitocho, the date in the shtar. Nothing more than that. That's what gives the kol. Masha'enkein, if it's a shtar kinyan, then the Eide Mesira would already be relevant, just like by shtar mekach u'memkar, nafkamina would be, in terms of the din of shuda. Okay, I think I covered everything that I wanted to in terms of shuda. Okay, if it's okay with you, we'll stop here. and we'll, I hope you already began the sugya of Mamana Muta B'Safek, but I'll try and get as far as you get within the Machlokes of Sumchus and Rabbanon, okay? And if we can finish that on Yom Rishon, wonderful. If not, we'll continue another time.